In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929. 305-461-9929. See you then.
Escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast, powered by LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. This is your host and correspondent, Gio. I am the youth pastor of said ministry, and joining me on the programming once again after being in absentia for a few days is my wife, Sarai.
God bless.
I'm glad you're back, honey.
I'm back.
I need the partner here.
What is that song called by Aerosmith? I'm back!
That's right.
I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right. And for those of you that are sacrosanct, yes, we have heard Aerosmith before, and we're not going to hell for it.
So exactly.
Don't worry about it. Anyways, on today's programming, I think we should dedicate the entirety of it. And I would like to inform people that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, I will be speaking about it at Living Word Church, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We will dig deeper into the subject of homosexuality. What does the Bible have to say about it? But in particular, we're going to take a closer look at the modernist preachers whom have abdicated the scriptural response to these things, what God has said about these things, that have employed cunning craftiness in order to avoid having to answer the, what they call, the issue of homosexuality. And on today's edition of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast, we are going to feature what I call one of the spearheads of this movement who tries to abdicate the church's responsibility as it pertains to pointing out that we need rescue from our sin. Carl Lentz, that's L-E-N-T-Z, who is the head pastor of Hillsong, New York City. This might sound familiar to our listeners because about a year ago, there was some controversy surrounding a question that was asked of the band members of Hillsong and also of the Hillsong universe, we will call it, because not only does Hillsong comprise the main faction, which is in Australia, I'm not sure what particular city or if they are like a virus that is spread throughout all of Australia, but now they have also reached our shores with the particular church that is stationed in New York City. You know, someone asked a question about where do you stand on homosexuality, and they gave the politically correct answer. Don't know. Ask someone else.
Yeah.
Those weren't the exact words, but that was the gist of it. So before we continue, I'd like to play a clip from Carl Lentz being interviewed by someone on the Huffington Post, whom we all know. Huffington Post is a leftist newspaper, and of course they incline to propagandize on the issue of homosexuality and normalizing it in the public sphere. So this is Carl Lentz giving his answer as it pertains to homosexuality, the church, etc.
Be patient with each person. What? I didn't even know that was in there. That's annoying. Everybody? I'm going to check some commentary to make sure that doesn't mean everybody. Be attentive to individual needs. That's interesting. Isn't that cool? That's why some churches want us to give blanket answers on huge issues. Well, my Bible says, be attentive to individual needs. That's why we're not going to make polarizing political statements about certain things in our Christian community right now. No matter who says what, we won't be pressured into giving blanket statements to individual needs. Never.
Never. Speaking of diversity, you know, New York City, one thing that is polarizing to some communities, especially within religion, is homosexuality and the debate around it. I mean, how do you balance those two things? I mean, are people of all sexual orientations welcome? And how do you see that?
Absolutely. I think what I was referring to there was, you know, some people will be like, you need to make you need to answer our questions about the homosexuality issue. And I always say, I do. You just don't like my answers. And here's exactly what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. Some media wants us to use our pulpit to have a soapbox for social issues. I don't believe that's our job. I don't believe Jesus did that. You go look at what Jesus did. He was always talking about the heart of an individual and the soul of a person, not these symptomatic societal problems. And people hate that because a lot of churches are about what they're against. We're about what we're for. And when it comes to people's sexuality, I don't want to use a public forum to talk about private things, because how in the world can you have a dialogue? How in the world can I hear your story? How in the world can someone have a question? So if I stand up in a pulpit and I just start railing at something or make a statement in a newspaper about something, I believe it's insensitive to the journey that people are walking on. And our church is going to protect people no matter where you're from, no matter what you carry, no matter what kind of orientation you feel like is your lane of life to run in. I want to have a conversation about it. We have a stance on love.
Yeah.
And we have conversations about everything else.
Well, I mean, I love that. And that makes sense to me, because when you say, you know, you have a stance on love and you're talking about hearts and souls, I often see, you know, people want to focus on homosexuality and the gay marriage issue and whether they should be allowed to get married. And a lot of homosexual couples are looking around saying, I just love this person with all my heart and soul.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for some support.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's you're not in a position to give them support on that issue, or do you feel like it's just not your lane?
It's not my job to be people's judge and jury.
Yeah.
If I sat down with a homosexual couple and they asked me what I thought about their relationship, I would tell them, and it would be at their table, and it would be our business. But their situation is different than the next situation, and often people get these two words mixed up, acceptance and approval. Like, I don't necessarily, if someone comes in my church, I don't have to approve of every single thing in their life, because that's not my job. I'm not God.
Yeah.
But my job is to accept you as I have been accepted with everything in my life. God accepted me. So acceptance and approval, we draw a really cool line in there, because it's like, look, I'm not going to tell you. There's a lot of people who will come into our church, leave and go, no thanks. I don't want to change I don't want to live. I don't want to believe that. And I say, good for you. That's your job. You have to answer to God for your life, not me.
Yeah.
So why is this on me? So right. People are always like, what do you think about homosexuality? I'm like, I love my wife. I'm married. You're asking the wrong guy. But that's just to be funny. But I do believe it's such a sensitive issue. I have gay friends. Yeah. I have people that I love that are right in the thick of that kind of debate.
Right.
And I just refuse to ostracize people any longer. I hate it. I think that there's been so much hate and so much bigotry and so much insensitivity that I'm done with that. And so the people who criticize us for it, I like making those people mad. Because they are who they are.
And I think if we focus on love, it'll all fix itself out. If all people just focus on love, I at least that's my personal belief. I do want to
so you know before you go. Jesus said to do two things. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then he said, number two, love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. I actually saw, you know, I was just going to go to this, but
with
we
the inference being, if you love your neighbor, there's so much room to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
But people want to yell with no love.
I hear you, and I think that's the perfect message to end on. And rather than end on it here, why not just show this? This is you with Jay-Z. There you have it. And you're wearing that shirt.
That was our Illuminati meeting.
All right, enough of the garbage. I think it's time that we take this line by line and we examine what it is that these persons said and whether or not this holds true to the biblical standard and if it holds true to reasonable arguments or logic. Let's start from the very beginning. First and foremost, they play a quote from one of his so-called sermons. And in it, he says, quote, be patient with each person. He's quoting from a modernist translation of the Bible, which I may have to tell our listeners, please stay away from those translations.
Exactly.
They water down the scriptures to the point where even water is saying, you're offending me. What? I didn't even know that was in there. How can you be a pastor and say that you don't know that that's in there? Maybe he was saying it facetiously, but I dare say that most of the modern preachers are doing it to fall into the good graces by employing some sort of sarcasm with their congregants. Pandering, we shall call it. That's annoying. Everybody? I'm going to check some commentary to make sure that doesn't mean everybody. Be attentive to individual needs. That's interesting. Isn't that cool? That's why some churches want us to give blanket answers on huge issues. I would ask, what's so huge about saying what the scriptures already state about homosexuality?
Well, Gio, this is Hillsong. And I wouldn't doubt that they have homosexuals congregating or buying their products. So therefore, if now you were always in this gray area and now you come out and you stand either right or left or black or white on this issue, it's going to hurt now their gross, their sales on CDs, the attendance that now they're getting worldwide on these churches that they have. So they're going to feel it if they take a stance on this. So they, it's on their end, on their defense, they have to now stand in that gray area.
Well, not in their defense. I mean, rather, this is what they're doing because they know that they'll begin to lose attendance.
Right.
I'd like for the listener to keep in mind this quote, be patient with each person. What? I didn't even know that was in there. That's annoying. Everybody? I'm going to check some commentary to make sure that doesn't mean everybody. I want the listener to keep that in the back of his or her mind, because you'll notice that he does not adhere to this, even though he says he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And that has certain implications that we will cover on this program also. He continues, well, my Bible says be attentive to individual needs. So I'm not going to make polarizing political statements about certain things in our Christian community right now, no matter who says what, we won't be pressured into giving blanket statements to individual needs. Never, he exclaims. What does he mean by polarizing? Have you asked yourself that? What does he mean by polarizing? Isn't the truth a polarizing thing? Or rather, I think I should rephrase that. People, when they listen to the truth, they polarize themselves.
That is true.
From the truth, because they don't want to be convicted that what they are doing is inherently evil, wicked, and sinful, disobedient to God's mandates.
Exactly. And as a pastor of a church, you are called to take care of the flock. That's what your job is as a pastor, to take care of your flock, to take care of the sheep. Now, in doing so, why are you lying? Why are you taking advantage of that podium that you were quote-unquote given and using it to not speak truth? I mean, Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. His Bible is truth. The Word of God is life. And for you as a preacher to stand on the pulpit and not allude scripture to its totality, you have issues.
I also think this is a crafty and cunning way to avoid having to answer the questions already answered in the Bible about sexual immorality, because in our day and age, since it's so inconvenient, as you alluded to earlier, that if we stand firm on the issue of homosexuality, as the Bible has told us to stand firm, not only on that, on every other sin in the book, the problem is it becomes more prevalent. And as we'll notice, the reason being is that the militants among us have brought it to the fore of the public discussion.
Exactly.
It's not because we pick and choose to, as many people say, pick on homosexuals. No, when militant homosexuals decided to make this a central topic of public discussion, then we as the church have a responsibility to be salt and light, the pillar of ground and truth,
right?
Ground of truth, and to go out and say this is a sin, but they don't like that.
And another point, Gio, if he's going to stand gray as a pastor on the issue of homosexuality, then you should stand gray about lying, stand gray about cheating, stand gray on adultery, stand gray on fornication, stand gray about everything else. And you know what? Don't allude to the scripture, because scripture is what it is, and you can't hold to whatever. You can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible you're going to allude to and what you're going to and what you're just going to throw out. No, you got to allude to it all. If that's what you're going to abide by, yeah.
Well, you have to also keep in mind, dear, that fornicators aren't looking to shut down our businesses because we don't want to bake cakes for them.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, the interviewer says never, of course, repeating Lentz's declarations in that clip of a sermon. Speaking of diversity, you know, New York City, one thing that is polarizing to some communities, especially within religion, is homosexuality and the debate around it. I mean, wait, let me stop here. There's no debate.
Exactly.
Do you notice how these people craftily say there is still an ongoing conversation? The conversation ended in the very beginning when God said, I'm making man, his name shall be Adam, and then I will remove flesh from Adam and create a new person called woman, her name being Eve, the mother of all, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was it. That was God's design. So the debate was settled approximately 7,000 years ago.
Exactly. And the same debate on evolution and creation, that has already been settled. So there is no debate.
Yeah. He continues. I mean, how do you balance those two things? Very simply, I'll tell you how we balance those two things. The Bible tells me that I should flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Right.
Flee sexual immorality. And Paul advises us that our temples are temples of the Holy Spirit, that we dishonor our bodies when we commit sexual adultery, fornication. And the Greek word there, let me clarify this, because people say Jesus never openly said that homosexuality is a sin, Gio. When you look at the Greek terminology, it says porneia. And in most commentaries, what that term means every single form of sexual immorality. Hmm. So Jesus did allude to it directly, saying homosexuality, fornication, adultery, all of these things, stay away from that. Sexual immorality is an all-encompassing phrase which alludes to any sort of sexual contact that is outside the bounds of what is established by Scripture inside of marriage.
Yep.
So Jesus did allude to it. These persons, they're very crafty.
Of course.
They're very astute. Do you know why? Because they know most people haven't read the Bible. So the casual listener will hear what they have to say and state, well, if he's saying it, it must be true, instead of actually going to the Scriptures and verifying to see if that is so.
That's right.
I mean, are people of all sexual orientations welcome, and how do you see that? This is a gotcha question. I hate to say that I'm going to defend Carl Lentz in the following with that question, but I have to be fair. That's a gotcha question. If Lentz answers no, I imagine the interviewer would grill him about the reasons why not, because it is an injustice against humanity somehow, but it is not right according to the interviewer's viewpoints about Christians and the homosexual issue. In other words, they're undertaking propaganda. But even then, I don't understand why Lentz wouldn't say, it's not that homosexuals are not allowed to come into church. Of course they're allowed to come into church. But here's the difference. There's a difference between them enforcing us to comply with their way and accepting it as normal, and them, or rather us, stating we're going to adhere to the biblical doctrines about this.
Of course. Homosexuals, drunks, prostitutes, all these people are welcome at church, okay? And when they sit down, let the Holy Spirit be the one drawing them to the feet of the Lord.
And how does the Holy Spirit do that? By the word that he already inspired and that we read from.
That's it. And let the truth speak for itself. Let truth be spoken and let it cause conviction into that person's heart. And let them break free from that. And the power of the Holy Spirit will do that. If you genuinely want to change and you come to the feet of the Lord, it will happen. So the question that he's like, oh, are they all welcome? Yes, they're all welcome. Mm. But the problem is their way of life. They are sinning, and that is a sin, whether you like it or not, whether he likes it or not.
You mentioned change. This is something that Lentz is going to allude to, and we've heard many persons repeating this fallacious statement saying, Jesus just wants you to come as you are. And he accepts you. If I remember correctly, doesn't the Bible repeat Jesus' words by stating that take up your cross and follow me daily? And also, Jesus asks a rhetorical question. How can you say you follow me and you do not keep my mandates?
Not only that, Gio, we can come to, anybody could come to Jesus, Gio, but without a sincere heart of wanting to change, why are you following him? What is your motive? What is your intention?
There's no reason to call him Lord. The reason that we call him our Lord and Savior is because he dictates to us now how we should live. Exactly. See, that's the problem that most people have with Christianity. No. I'm the one that is the ultimate arbiter of how I live my life. No one tells me how to live my life. Not if you have a Savior.
Yes.
Not if someone has salvaged your life from eternal damnation. Right. Now you serve him. That's
and
the way it works.
Does Jesus accept you as you are when you come to him? Yes. But after a while, after years in the Lord, there should be some type of changing going on because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life now and to cause all this changing that's happening spiritually. Even in your mind, there's a renewing in the mind that takes place. So for you to stay stuck in that point A and not advance, there's a problem there. So yeah, does he accept you as you are? Yes, he does, totally. But there has to be a change going on. If someone looks at your life between now and 10 years, there has to be a change.
Well, if you are adopting Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind, as your personal Lord and Savior, you would think the reason that I need to be rescued is because I'm in sin. Why would I want to continue in the mire if Christ is rescuing me from that? I need rescue from my sin. We don't go to Christ. That is the absolute lunacy. We don't go to Christ and say, rescue me from my sin, but I'm going to continue in my sin. That makes no sense. Exactly. But this is what this generation is actually proclaiming. That is the gospel. Yeah, sure. Jesus will accept you as you are. Just come on in. Believe in him. And well, you can leave the having to alter your mind, your heart, your the way of living. You're going to have to, you can leave that at the door. That's good. Jesus will take you just as you are. No, once you come to him, since he is your Lord and Savior, now you need to submit to him.
That's right.
As your Lord. Otherwise, don't call him your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Now, Lentz replies to the interviewer stating, absolutely. I think I was referring there to, some people will be like, you need to answer our questions about the homosexual issue. And I say, I do. You just don't like my answer. Let me clarify. His answer is that he's not going to answer it.
Exactly.
Those are my comments, okay? Here's exactly what I mean by that. Some media, I have to stop here again. First, he's complaining about the churches. Now he's complaining about the media. Whom are his enemies here? The church or the media? Mm-hmm. His answer is that he's not going to answer it. Remember that. And I wonder again, are the churches the culprit or the media? Now, again, here's exactly what I mean by that. Some media want us to use our pulpit to have a soapbox for social issues. I don't believe that's our job. So in other words, you abdicate being the pillar and ground of truth, just like Paul says to Timothy that the church should be.
That's right.
If something is wrong, the reason that we are to be salt and light, like Jesus says that we are supposed to be, is to tell other people, the way you're living, it's not in accordance to God's plan, and God has something better for you. You've gotten where with your sin? Tell you what, God has a better plan for you. Come on out of that. Jesus has a better life for you. That's the whole idea of being salt and light.
And this is a perfect example on how the salt becomes insipid. I'm sorry to have to say this, but actually I'm not sorry. When you become a Christian, you're supposed to be salt and light. And now that he is a pastor, he has lost his function as salt.
He's become insipid. Absolutely.
He's forsaken it. And now it's like having salt and trying to preserve chicken and trying to add some taste to the chicken. Well, guess what? His work as salt is not doing anything to the chicken. Hmm. It's not doing anything to meat. It's not doing nothing, not even to salad, for crying out loud.
Listen to what he says here. I don't believe Jesus did that. Really? Jesus didn't do that. Shall I bring to our remembrance the Samaritan woman and her adulterous relationships, which Jesus pointed out to her? Shall I remember or bring to our remembrance the woman caught in adultery, even though he convicted everyone else that they had sin in their life and therefore they didn't cast the stones? He did inform her at the very end of that conversation to go and sin no more.
That's right.
What about the Pharisees and their duplicity and he calling them hypocrites for it? What about Herod being called by Jesus a fox? And what about Judas Iscariot being called by Christ a traitor? And those are just a few examples. Do you see?
Yeah.
Do you see? He continues, you go look at what Jesus did. He was always talking about the heart of an individual and the soul of a person, not the symptomatic societal problems. Really? What about when Jesus says in Matthew that out of the heart proceeds all sorts of evil things?
Good point.
What about when Jesus says out of the heart proceeds fornication, sexual immorality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And people hate that because a lot of churches are about what they're against. We're about what we're for. What a stupid statement.
What are you for?
Exactly. Exactly. These people live in a vague area. And if you're for something, obviously the next logical step is for people to infer that you're against what you're not for. Do you see what I'm saying? These people, once I heard someone say that these persons are pop philosophers. Yes.
Yeah.
Teeny bopper philosophers.
And he is like, he's like one of these, I'm sorry to have to go there, but I'm going to go there. He's one of these dogs that when you go around the fence of a house and all this dog does is bark, 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 bark. And after a while, when the dog doesn't sense in you that you don't fear it, all of a sudden it stops barking. He is that. He has nothing to say. He has nothing substantial. And unfortunately, there's a lot of followers. He's got a lot of following. There's a lot of people who go and congregate there. My advice would be examine all things, even the person who stands on that pulpit, because that is our duty as a Christian. We are not called to become apathetic.
Absolutely. Great point. Unfortunately, the time for this programming has ended. We wish that we could further indulge.
Yes.
In commenting on this. But once again, I will remind you that this Sunday, I will be speaking about it more detailed, in a more detailed manner, beginning at 9 and 11 a.m. These services will be in English with translation to Spanish. So please join us, 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida, 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. And remember, our Wednesday night youth meetings, 8 p.m., same address, 8 p.m. If you have any requests for information, further information, call us at 305-461-9929. Visit our website, lwim.org. You can download this podcast for free. And lastly, if you have any questions or comments, please email those to us by writing us at info@lwim.org. info@lwim.org. And we would love to answer those questions on this programming. For Sarai, this has been Gio. We'll see you once again, or rather, you'll hear us once again on the next episode of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929. 305-461-9929. See you then.